Good day. Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 in New York City. Thanks for being with us on this Feel Good Friday.
My Knicks, you see orange and blue skies, baby. You see orange and blue skies, the number two seed in the East. I saw it. He act like he didn't see it.
Do you like their chances of reaching the Eastern Conference Finals now?
Hell yeah! New York Knicks going to the Conference Finals. I try to tell y'all, they better not lose this shit.
Is that a promise or a threat?
Watch First Take and you'll find out.
New York, stand up.
Let's go, Knicks. Let's go, Knicks.
I'm not taking anybody over Jalen Brunson right now, Shannon. Not right now. Orange and blue skies. That's right.
My name is Stephen A. Smith. I approve this message.
Oh my
Let's
goodness.
Go. Friday feels SA. Look at you.
Looking okay. Like a bobblehead up in there. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Okay, catch the beat. Doing? All right, the Knicks are 3.5-point favorites at ESPN Bet. Hi, I'm on camera. For game one of the series, but the odds to win the series are neck and neck, both teams at minus 110. So the Knicks won the season series 3-1 over Philly. Joel Embiid only played in one of those, but the 76ers still lost. Game one is tomorrow, as in Saturday, 6 Eastern on ESPN. First of all, I love that start time. I just want to say, the 6 p.m. start time, yes. And then the second game is like 8:45.
I agree with that.
Thank you, ESPN and ABC, for that. All right, Legs, you're up first. Seriously, how worried should the Knicks be about this Philly team? And Joel Embiid?
Extremely worried. Look.
But is Embiid healthy?
Listen, well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But come on, man. Let's not take it too far now. Okay, we saw Embiid the other night against Miami. Now, all of a sudden, it's this stone-cold lock, foregone conclusion. Give me a break. Listen, I want to say, first of all, when Joel Embiid came back from this injury and he played those, what, 5-6 games before he kind of re-injured himself there at the end of the year, when I saw him then, I said, they're going to the conference finals. If they can avoid Boston's bracket, which they did. That was where I was on the record of saying that. That's the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics in the East. Then I saw Joel Embiid against the Miami Heat. And I said, wait a second. Is this conditioning? Is it physical limitations? A combination of the both? Is it anxiety? What is going on? Because he is a shell of the guy that I just watched a couple of weeks ago. So having said that, clearly now, there's a problem for the Sixers. And I actually flipped my pick. I picked the Sixers to win the series if they were going to get the Knicks. I went on the air this morning and said, I'm picking the Knicks in 7 games. 7 games, Stephen A. Even if Joel Embiid looks exactly how he looked against the Heat, I think this is a 7-game series because, number one, he still is going to have an impact. And you have another star. They got Tyrese Maxey. And anybody trying to deflect from Tyrese Maxey right now and say, oh, you know, he's young. How can you put that kind of pressure on him? Stop. The guy is an all-star, 26 points a game, had 350-point games this year. Why can't we ask more of Tyrese Maxey, who will be the third-best offensive player in this series? So they've got another star player that the Knicks are going to have to deal with. And I think Maxey's going to show up in a big way. I have no doubt about Brunson. But I still think, regardless of how Embiid looked the other night, this is a formidable team, Stephen A. This isn't some offensive juggernaut in the New York Knicks that are going to run roughshod over the Philadelphia 76ers all of a sudden, regardless of how Embiid looked. They should be very concerned because they still have Tyrese Maxey, and any way you shape it, this is going to be a long series decided by a handful of possessions in some of these fourth quarters.
Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to a gentleman by the name of Tim Legler, 11-year career in the National Basketball Association, born in the District of Columbia, played college basketball in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and lived there for many, many years thereafter. He's highly sensitive to the locals, and he ain't gonna just give up on them like that. I understand. I understand where it's coming from. I see my man Wendy there waiting to chime in with his orange and blue on, because he knows. What's going on right now? He feels the momentum. He knows what's coming down the pike. This is a different day, baby. Let me tell you something right now. Six is going down. Six is going down. Now, listen, I will openly confess to you that a significant part of the confidence that I exude has an awful lot to do with Joel Embiid not being healthy. The Joel Embiid that I saw the other night against Miami, the Joel Embiid I saw grabbing his knee before the game even began, who was virtually immobile throughout the game. Hit two big threes in the fourth quarter. Ended up scoring, 11 points in the fourth quarter. Finishing with respectable numbers like 23 and 15. Joel Embiid is phenomenal, no doubt. And if he were 100%, I wouldn't be this confident. But he ain't. He's far from it. And when I think about the physicality of the New York Knicks, particularly defensively, when I think about the defensive wizardry of the great Tom Thibodeau, okay, who has proven something to me this year, I also love the fact that they've had the injuries. The Mitchell Robinsons of the world. Even Jalen Brunson missed a few games. Of course, OG Anunoby missed a few games. I think they were like 13 and 14 or 14 and 15. I don't remember. Without OG Anunoby, but 20 and 3 with him in the lineup. Wendy, I'm looking at it. Legs, I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, excuse me, you go after somebody like Embiid two ways. You either run up and down the court, which the Knicks don't do because their pace of play is one of the slower paces in the league, or you get physical with them, and you make him fight for everything because ultimately attrition kicks in. And we know that when that happens, it ain't going to be no Nicholas Batum with six threes. And they ain't happening, okay? Somebody else going to have to step up. And I'm willing to bet my money it ain't going to be that way. Not only do I got the Knicks winning this series, it ain't going seven. I got them in five. I got him in five, Tim. Like the five games.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. That's what I said. I got him in five.
Oh, my. You took it too far.
Let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something right now. You're talking about the Philadelphia 76ers winning eight straight. Well, last time I checked, Brunson's got 30-plus in seven straight. And nine of the last 10, okay, averaging over 30. Not to mention assisting and getting people in foul trouble. Don't diminish the value of him being able to pull that off. The Villanova boys with him and DiVincenzo, with Josh Hart rebounding and scoring as well. I'm just looking at it, and I'm saying, you know something? It's a new day, baby. I ain't going to be like, we here. I ain't going to do that yet. But I'm telling you right now, we going to win this series. And that eight-game winning streak Philadelphia was on, it ends tomorrow night. It ends. Floor is yours, Wendy.
All right, so good news and bad news for the Knicks fans. Let's start with the bad news. The bad news is, you have the 2 seed, but you don't really have the 2 seed because this is not a 7 seed that you're seeing. The 40 games that the Sixers have played this year with Joel Embiid, they are 32-8. That's not a 7 seed. So as hard as you worked out the whole regular season, your draw is not fair. Let's just start with that. Here's the good news. The good news is that this team is absolutely designed for playoff basketball. No matter what you want to say about Tom Thibodeau, this guy plays his games throughout the whole season like their playoff games. That's why the Knicks came into last year's series with the Cavs and looked like they were ready to go because they have been primed. And I believe that the Knicks, especially on their home court in the Garden, where they are a great team and that the atmosphere will be charged, will be ready to go for the playoffs. And I think that's an advantage for them. But you're right, Stephen A. When you watch Joel Embiid laboring up and down on that leg, your instantaneous reaction is run him. But the Knicks don't do that. They're the slowest team in the league. Jalen Brunson pounds the ball. Nobody dribbled the ball more in the NBA this season. We can track that more than Jalen Brunson. And no one's going to dribble the ball in this series more than Jalen Brunson. And that slowdown effect does favor the Sixers. And I will say this. I know Embiid looked bad the other night, but we have seen Embiid bounce back. You think he's readjusting that knee, and next thing you know, he goes off. So don't bank on that. If I were you, I would bank on him being great in this series and believe that the Knicks, because of how they're built and how they've played throughout the stretch run, can still beat them, even with Embiid playing this well.
Well, listen, you can say that. I feel you on that. I mean, because obviously with the greatness of a Joel Embiid, and let's not forget Tyrese Maxey when we talking about greatness, because he is great. I get all of that. But I'm going to stand on what I'm saying about their defensive tenacity, what they've been and how they've been transformed since OG Anunoby arrived. And I'm going to think about that along with the great MVP caliber play of a Jalen Brunson, along with the shooting of a Dante DiVincenzo, who did at 39% a clip from three-point range this season. I just like what I'm seeing right now. I'm looking at what I'm looking at, and I'm saying if the Philadelphia 76ers are going to get at them, they're going to need Embiid to look a hell of a lot better than he did against Miami to do it. I can't see that happening because I think the Knicks' physicality will rule the day. And by the way, Molly brought up the fact that I was wrong because I picked Miami to beat Philadelphia. If Jimmy Butler hadn't gotten hurt with his MCL, I think they still would have won that game. Philly wouldn't even be in this
game. I didn't bring up that you were wrong. I just pointed out that I was
shocked.
I was right.
I was shocked when I found out you made that pick, Stephen
A. I was right, Stephen
A. I couldn't believe you picked the Miami.
Listen, Miami, you saw how Miami looked in the first half, but Jimmy Butler got hurt.
Hey, Steve, Wendy, Tim, I need some percentages before we go to break. I just want to know how confident you are, Stephen A. Smith, in your Knicks. Like 80% confident?
90.
Why is your lip curling a little as you say it?
Ain't like, curling. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Even by your standards.
90%. Wow.
Even by your standards, this is outrageous.
90%.
We did not do all of this. We didn't do all of this to be going down in the first round.
Philly could pull it off.
Percentages on Philly, I'm going to put it at 45% because of Embiid. But here's the thing, and I said this, and I'm going to stick to this. I know by check. I'm going to reserve the right to be originally right. That's right. That's what I said. If Embiid comes out and he looks like he did when he first came back, I picked them to go to conference finals. And guess what? I'm going right back there if he plays that way in game one. I'm going right, and I reserve the right to do it.
You do.
I said it for weeks.
That's fine. You can make the rules on this
That's
one.
That's it.
Giving you a 100%.
What?
I'm 100%. I'm 100% sure this series is going longer than 5 games.
Oh, okay. Wendy.
100%.
Okay.
Wendy,
okay.
That is weak 100. Sauce
okay.
on first take, okay. but right. because of your right. role, I'll allow it. But, I mean,
they win. Molly, cool. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. They win the first 2 games in New York City, all right? Game 3 is going to be tough. Philly will be hyped. They'll be ready to go. They may win game 3. Knicks win game 4,
and Saturday.
They come back to the Garden and close it out in 5.
Stephen A., I'm just curious,
okay.
man. If you're going to go all in to this extent, why don't you just call it a sweep?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to disrespect Matt.
I got you.
Don't get crazy, Tim.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
One game.
90%.
All it takes is for the Knicks to hold home court and to steal one in Philly.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen.
Listen, man.
Philly's second home to me. I don't root against Philly except for when they're going up against New York. I'm kind of lying because, I mean, if I got a chance to go to South Beach, I would lead. One of them, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so that's true. I won't lie about that.
It's going to be epic. Yeah. Are you guys are all going to be on the show next week?
I'll be here next week.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Can't wait to revisit this
subject. Yeah, we'll be here.
Wendy, you'll be around next week? Okay,
that's
cool.
Right.
With you 3 days next week.
Let's see about tomorrow night.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's Lectric ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We have 6 days until the NFL draft. Speaking of six, my Giants have a decision to make at that spot. Here's GM Joe Shane.
Do you still feel like you need or want to add a quarterback in the draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience, and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system, Tommy's come a long way. So, no, I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have, and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
I'm just curious, what would he be comfortable doing with that? Like, what are we doing? We're just hanging out, having a good time? Like, you're not thinking about really winning or going anywhere.
Molly, this time of year, all GMs lie. Ask Stephen A. I'm Exhibit A of that.
So they're taking a quarterback?
Absolutely. They have to take a quarterback.
Get into this.
Look, Daniel Jones has ability, but since 2019, when you look at some key indices, you start off with sacks. He's been sacked 179 times. Fumbles lost 24, and maybe the most important statistic, he's missed 23 games. So if you're not available, nothing else matters. Now, in fairness, the offensive line hasn't been great. They went out, they signed a tackle in Jermaine Olumilor. They got John Runyon at guard, so they have tried to address the offensive line. But to me, J.J. McCarthy's ceiling is so much higher than Daniel Jones. They need to get a quarterback. Daniel Jones only has 1 year left of guaranteed money, so it's the ideal time. If I'm the Giants, I don't think he'll be there at six. We know that Minnesota needs a quarterback. They're at 11 and 23. So if I'm Arizona, I have to sit there and say, do I want to take Marvin Harrison, or do I want to take two first-round picks from Minnesota, or do I engage with the Giants? And to me, the draft starts at four, and if I'm the Giants, I get Arizona on the phone. I don't get off without making J.J. McCarthy the next quarterback of the Giants.
Nick?
Yeah, I think that Mike, I think, misunderstands the proper way to develop a quarterback. And it's not his fault. I think a lot of people who are watching the draft don't understand that you have to have the situation right before you go get the quarterback. And I think that Daniel Jones is the perfect example of that, where he was brought in there, and even the owner of the Giants would accept that they did not give him a fair shot. There's no quarterback that's going to be dropped into a bad situation. And I think we make a mistake by looking around the league and wondering what teams need a quarterback. We should be asking what teams are ready to have a quarterback. And I think the Vikings fit that category. The Giants don't, because it doesn't matter. There are very few guys in the history of this league that have been drafted and they've been so good that you drop them on a bad team and then all of a sudden they are on a different trajectory. Like, I think of Joe Burrow, I think of Cam Newton. Like, since that we've changed the draft structure, I think of CJ Stroud. Other than that, every other quarterback we have who's had success has come into a good situation no matter where they were drafted. We've seen guys as late as the last pick in the whole draft have success because the situation matters much more than the player. And I think the Giants will be making another mistake again if they bring another quarterback into this situation until they rectify the issues with the O-line, get a top-flight receiver, improve the consistency on the defense. All these things need to be addressed before you throw a young, promising quarterback out there to be ruined like they did the last one.
I respectfully disagree with you, Dom, but not for the reasons you would think. I get where you're coming from, but here's my thinking. I don't expect J.J. McCarthy to play anytime soon. I mean, I'm thinking along the lines of, what's wrong with drafting a quarterback that you think, first of all, he's just finished an undefeated season in college football and won a national championship. His strength is throwing over the middle because they think that's a translatable skill to the NFL level. Outside the numbers and the deep throws, he's got to work on a bit more. But giving him time to develop that skill set, utilizing Daniel Jones because you got him available to you at this particular moment in time, and buying yourself time in the city hope, because there's a future if you can go out and do exactly what you said, Dom. What's wrong with taking a quarterback that's available to you, particularly if you know you're not going to be under any pressure to use him immediately? I think you could do that. If you're talking about a guy that you're going to draft and you want him to be a starter for week one, then I get where you're coming from. But if it's somebody that you don't plan on utilizing that way, and there's a waiting period that can come in play where you don't have to rush him into the line of fire, I think that it's nothing wrong with grabbing a J.J. McCarthy, knowing that you're going to use him a year or two down the road instead of immediately.
Yeah, Stephen A., like, great example of that. If you look at Green Bay, what they had Brett Favre. They drafted Aaron Rodgers. He sat. Look how that worked out. They have Aaron Rodgers. They draft Jordan Love. Look how that worked out. When we were at the Jets, we drafted Chad Pennington. He was our third-string quarterback, and when he played at a really high level. And then, to me, you can move forward. You can look at, obviously, what happened in Kansas City. Alex Smith was a B. Patrick Mahomes comes in. He plays, and obviously the rest is history. So there's so much pressure to play these quarterbacks, which I would make sure that the offensive line was solidified, which actually the Giants did a good job this offseason, adding two free agent offensive linemen, that I would take J.J. McCarthy, and I would play when he's ready. But that doesn't necessarily have to be from
today. You know what you don't have? You don't have Brett Favre. You don't have Aaron Rodgers. You don't have Alex Smith. I would love this idea if I thought it was realistic. The problem is when you draft a quarterback in the first round, and also a team that we all agree has a lot of holes would have to trade away picks that they need to fill other holes in order to move up to get this quarterback. So that makes them a little less ready for the quarterback transition. Then you put him on a team that does not have a quarterback of the future. He is absolutely going to play before he's ready. Like, this is the definition of the point that I'm trying to make, is he is going to be ruined. We all accept that he needs some time. But if we do that, you don't have Aaron Rodgers to buy you time. You have a guy that people are going to want out of there as soon as possible, that you hope doesn't get injured. It just seems like you're trying to rush the timeline when you haven't quite taken the time to develop the car. You're already out here trying to get a driver. Build the car first. Build the car, then get the driver.
You know what? Listen, Dom, I can't argue with that point because I hear what you're saying. What you're saying is essentially, look, don't act like you're going to keep him on the bench. With Daniel Jones as your quarterback, you're going to insert J.J. McCarthy in there sooner than later, and you're going to put him in a bad situation. That's basically what you're saying. And I get that part. And if that's the way you're framing it, I can't argue with that. All I'm trying to say is that how many times do I listen to you football aficionados talk to us about how important the quarterback position is? And if you're going to lean on that, and we clearly believe that Daniel Jones is clearly not that guy, what do? You know, you build the parts around them, but you leave the quarterback there. I just don't know how you could get away with that, Dom, in today's NFL culture.
So I
don't know how you could pull that off.
I think we all believe the same thing, that the quarterback position is the most important. But the conclusion that I come to is different than even a lot of football people's conclusion. My conclusion is not that the quarterback is so important that we got to keep drafting him until we find one. My belief is that the position is so important that we need to protect it and we need to set it up for success. I think that there are a lot of really talented quarterbacks that had bust-like careers because teams thought that all they needed was a quarterback to solve all the problems around them. It's not how it works. We've seen this happen. All the best quarterbacks in football are quarterbacks that came into good situations. Josh Allen did. Lamar Jackson did. Patrick Mahomes did. Aaron Rodgers did. All these guys came in, Dak Prescott, came into good situations. We're seeing it happen over and over again. Then we see guys who are incredibly talented go places like Justin Fields and then end up having disappointing careers. So I think that the Giants just made this mistake. Don't make it again. Unless Cam Newton's in the draft, unless C.J. Stroud is in the draft, somebody that you know, no matter where you put them, they're going to have success. I think it's a mistake to give up any draft capital to go move up to get a quarterback that we all know. No one is arguing that J.J. McCarthy is a finished product on day one. So I think anybody who's moving up like this to do that, given the roster that they have, is making a mistake.
Yeah, I think his ceiling is really high. I think this is a superstar quarterback. And when you get the opportunity to get a superstar quarterback, you draft him, you develop him, you play him at the appropriate time. I get your point, Meeks, and you don't want to play him too soon and let him get hit the way Bryce Young did. But he's a great athlete, great arm, great leader, durable, hasn't missed a game, lost one game in college. I think he checks every box. And I think he's going to be a special quarterback at the next level.
You know about the great arm part? We'll debate that another time.
I'm available.
Stephen A. All right. To be continued, guys. I can't believe the draft's next Thursday. Monday, our First Take Draft Blitz continues. We're going in on another quarterback. Find out all you need to know about Drake May. Don't miss that. Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp will be here on Monday.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Now let's take a look at the odds to win this series at ESPN Bet. So six of the matchups are set, and three of the lower seeds are actually favored. Interesting. To win their series, the Pacers, Suns, and Mavericks, all favorites, and the Knicks and 76ers actually have the same odds. Very interesting. Stephen A., which star has got to step up the most? Who are you going to have your eye on in round one?
Me personally, Kevin Durant. That's what I'm going to have my eyes on. I mean, Minnesota is a top three seed. They got Ant-Man. They've got a defense that gets out and defends against three-point shooting, forces you into the interior where you have the soon-to-be four-time defensive player of the year and Rudy Gobert there. He got my vote. I look at it from that standpoint, and I'm like, who's the X factor? It's that dude, Kevin Durant. Two-time champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP, you know, 6 feet 11 with the skills that he still has, his ability to score at will. He's going to need to bring that to the table in order for the Phoenix Suns to win this series, which honestly, I expect them to win. So we'll see.
I love the answer. I would have a different one, and I already kind of alluded to it earlier. And I'm going with Tyrese Maxey. And here's why, Stephen A., there is a window of opportunity that's been created in the Eastern Conference for somebody to make a run at the Boston Celtics and be the last team standing against them. And now you look at the bracket that the Sixers ended up in and avoiding Boston until that round. That means there's an opportunity here, and you have a star player in Joel Embiid, not just a star player, the most dominant offensive force in the Eastern Conference. Clearly limited in my mind. You got Tyrese Maxey sitting there. I know he's a young player, but I've been saying all year long, this is the guy that Joel Embiid has needed next to him as a co-star all these years. This is the most reliable co-star he's had, because I don't think he's going to be fazed by the situation. He's not going to be affected by the pressure playing in Philly in a playoff game the way some other guys were in that spot. I don't think he's going to be affected going into Madison Square Garden in that environment. He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He's confident. He's smiling when he plays. He's buoyant. He doesn't look like he hangs his head too low. He is a guy that uplifts Embiid when he's playing well, because he gives Embiid more confidence that his other guy is going to show up. That's what I've been saying about Maxey all year, Stephen A. Well, here's your opportunity. Okay, you've already arrived. We know who you are. But this is a chance to climb some rungs in the ladder in terms of who we think you are in the league.
Stephen, excuse me. Let me jump in here really quick. Was Maxey already a star, Tim?
You asking me or him?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Maxey is a star. He has a chance to become that dude. Is he him? We talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
He has a chance to not be like a co-star. He has a chance to show people, hey, wait, I can be more than that. we shouldn't expect Tyrese Maxey to be, you know, a 20-point game scorer in this series. Why would we do that? The man averaged 26 in the regular season. He scored 50 points in the game three times. He is an all-star. He has the ability to do it. He's got the quickness. That's the kind of thing you can use to counter physical defenses. He's got a burst that's very hard to defend. He's got deep three-point range. He's got it all. He's got the confidence. So, yeah, he's already a guy we know about. You got a chance now, though, in terms of how you're viewed compared to the other stars in this league. This series gives you a chance to make a serious statement if you are Tyrese Maxey. And, by the way, Embiid might need every bit of it the way he looks. So, for me, this is Maxey because I think they survived this series. They got a great chance to be in that series I mentioned, which is the Eastern Conference Finals eventually.
Maxey's a star. Make no mistake about it. I love the kid, and I hope he gets his bag. He absolutely deserves it. He's the future because he's more reliable, more durable than Joel Embiid, and he's got the ball in his hands most of the time, so we can't ignore that. He's a guy that I looked at when I looked at Emmanuel Quickly when he was with the Knicks before they moved him out of there. I had hoped that he would become, you know, what we've seen from Maxey, but Maxey is special. There's no doubt about that, but I still think the answer to this particular question is Kevin Durant.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Let's dive into this one, though. They say availability is the best ability, but as far as ability, no one would ever question the talent, heart, or work ethic of Kawhi Leonard. But his availability, that's another story. As round one approaches for the Clippers, Kawhi is not 100% from game one yet. He's committed to play for Team USA in the Paris Olympics. Interesting. All right, Stephen A., how do you think Clippers fans should feel about him potentially adding extra minutes, not in a Clippers uniform?
They should be utterly disgusted. I think that Steve Ballmer should protest. He should use his considerable power to do everything he can to keep Kawhi Leonard away from Olympic competition. Here we are with the Clippers in the playoffs. By the way, with the talent to compete for a championship, on the verge of moving into a new arena, and even though Kawhi Leonard finally played 60-plus games in a season and played 68 games this year, props to him. I never saw it coming, him and Anthony Davis. I mean, I feel like Fred Sanford from Sanford and Son back in the day. Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. I mean, this is the miracle that has happened. Anthony Davis, major, major props to him. Playing the way that he played, playing 76 games, opening up the season, training camp, talking about how he wanted some of that smoke in Denver, and now he's got it. I expect him to answer the call. I believe in that, brother. Proud of the way he's played this year. Kawhi Leonard, a perennial all-star, a superstar talent. We know it, but the problem with him is his availability. Knowing that you have chronic health issues, knowing the amount of work that you have missed. I mean, the man has missed about 48 to 50% of his games over the last 5 or 6 years or so. And then to be in a situation where right now you ain't healthy, you know, you're questionable for the start of the series after dropping 38 on Phoenix last year and then not even available to play the rest of the playoffs, knowing that that happened, I think they would have won. They'd have beat Phoenix last year if Kawhi Leonard had stayed healthy, but you're not. Knowing that stuff about your health, you're going to participate in Olympic competition? Hell to the no. I'm sorry, that's an investment. The Olympics ain't paying him. If I'm Steve Ballmer, I'm paying him. I'm using every means
leads available to me to derail him. And I had a friend of mine, guys, they just sent me this joke. They live out here. One of my boys lives out here. He sent me this joke about Kawhi Leonard. He said, Clipper fans should be upset. He said, man, this is like people when they said Bobby Brown back in the day, he'd miss the concert. However, he'd show up for the after party. Now, I don't know if that's true about Bobby Brown, but I like the analogy when you're talking about Kawhi Leonard. That's the equivalent of him playing in Olympic competition. You questionable for the playoffs, but you gonna compete in the Olympics. This is a flight to Paris. You understand? I don't think everybody gonna be having a bed available to him. He'll probably say his knees hurt from that damn trip, let alone getting on the basketball court. Hell no. There's no way that Clipper fans should feel good about Kawhi Leonard and his questionable availability, especially if he gonna play in the Olympics. Hell no.
All right, you go ahead, Tim.
I thought it was with you. All right, no problem.
Tim, you go ahead.
Look, man, I hear everything you're saying, and I understand you're still looking at this, Stephen A., from a Clippers fan's perspective, and I get it, man. I would be the same way if that were my team. I'd feel the same way. But I'm just going to try to step back here and look at it in a different light. First, look, the timing of this, whatever's going on with him right now, and the lack of availability and this knee inflammation, and we got to wait and see what that's going to be in this series with Dallas. And I think Dallas going to win the series anyway. If he's limited, I think Dallas could maybe win that series of 5 or 6 games. So let's see, because we haven't seen him in a while. Knee inflammation doesn't sound good, so there's a very good chance he's going to be limited again in the postseason. I get it. Clippers fans are going to be upset by that because you got 4 Hall of Famers you're expecting to make a run at a championship when you got Kawhi Leonard. I understand that. But truth of the matter is, the timing of all of this, by the time we get into this summer, this type of injury, right, he's going to be feeling pretty good, one. So you're basically asking him to turn down something like that? You want him to say no to that? I don't want to do because?
No, I'm saying it should have never been offered.
Okay,
that's what I'm
hearing
saying.
Well, that's a whole nother argument to me. Yeah, and we can get into that because there's definitely some other people, too, by the way, that you could look at based on where they're at in their career and say they deserve a spot on this team. That we could do a whole show on that.
I agree with you on that.
But for him, he's saying, you know, it's an honor, obviously. It's something he wants to do. So I don't expect him to say no to it. And then the last part is this could be light lifting for Kawhi Leonard, man. It's not like he's going to be taxing himself on his team playing 25, 30 minutes. Nobody on his team should be. He's going to be a guy. It's going to be a supplementary part on this. And even if he has an issue in the summer, they can sit him and go with the other 11, and they're going to be just fine. But I don't think Kawhi Leonard's going to, like, be exerting himself is what I'm saying. So for me, I've got to separate it from, like, the timing. This is a ways down the road. He's going to be fine at that point. It's a dicey one. I know why Clippers fans would be upset, though.
3 things. 1, this Team USA roster right now is a wish list. I have no idea which of these 12 guys are going to be healthy and recovered and have enough energy when we get to the end of June. Even they know that. It's just a wish list. These are the 12 guys that Team USA wanted. They were their number one draft picks. These guys said yes. That's why they're on the roster. Just because he's saying now doesn't mean he's going to be there in July. 2, this is actually kind of good news if you're a Clipper fan, because at least he doesn't believe this injury is serious enough that it's going to keep him out a long period of time. And he obviously knows this is going to go public. He obviously posed for the video with the jersey. He knew everybody was going to see it. I don't think if he felt his knee injury was serious enough that it was going to seriously impact him playing this series that he would do this. 3, and earlier, Stephen A., you downplayed the Olympics. We need Kawhi at the Olympics because this is going to be so hard. We won't talk about it now. We'll talk about it in the summer when the Olympics comes. This is going to be the most competitive and difficult international basketball tournament in the history of sport. That's all I'm going to say about it. And I think if you're a Clipper fan, you shouldn't expect Kawhi Leonard to be ready to go at the beginning of this weekend.
That debunks what Tim said. I mean, they should have played more than 20, 25 minutes. Excuse me, if the competition's going to be that tough, It calls for your best dudes to be out there and expend their energy. That's even more of a reason for him not to be there.
Are the voice of the players. That's what you are. Silver lining voice of the players. Somebody's got to have their back.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is my favorite part of the show when we make predictions and I keep receipts because I'm annoying. All right, Tim, let's hear your round one predictions. Let's start on the East Coast, the Beast Coast.
All right, here we go. Knicks in seven. Mm-hmm. Unless Joel Embiid looks like he's supposed to, I'll change that pick. But I'm going Knicks in seven because of the status of Embiid. I got the Indiana Pacers beating the Milwaukee Bucks in six games.
Oh.
And I think I would have picked them even if Giannis was playing 100%. Cavs in seven. That's a toss-up series. Denver in six. Minnesota in seven over Phoenix. And the Dallas Mavericks in six over the LA Clippers.
Can he go west or should he? Okay, go ahead.
I refrain from most of my picks because I got NBA countdown tonight. I got a quadruple header Saturday. I'll be all over TV, and then I got Sunday. But I will say this, Knicks in five.
Okay.
Because Embiid.
Oh, I'm going to game five.
Health.
Do we have to, are we going west or we're done?
I did west.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I had people in my ear.
That's okay. I rattled right through the west.
I had people in my ear.
I got all
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.